Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 28th of August. We are having a pre-show meeting talking about the big stories of the day.
Angelina. Brad and Angelina, yeah.
Angelina got married.
They have been secretly wed. So we'll talk about
weightier
topics.
Now.
Yeah,
that's
now.
That's a kiss of death when celebrities wed.
There is no other news to talk about.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, them's is fighting words.
So says my 16 magazine alter ego.
Hey, Libby Post is back. She was gone for a little bit, but she's back from vacation, and we're thrilled to have her here. Political consultant Libby Post, good morning.
Good morning, and nice, I'm thrilled to be back.
Nice to have you here. We missed you, so it's nice to have you back. Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo, thrilled to have you here as well. And, of course, Alan Chartok is here, and you're right, Alan?
Yeah.
And what's wrong?
I was up late. I was rehearsing with the Berkshire Ramblers for our Saturday gig.
Up late? What is that, 9:30?
Well, yeah, 8:30. Yeah. And so I had to drag myself in here this morning and do my usual thing, 3:30 in the morning. So you know, I'm a little out of sorts. So you'll all forgive me if that's the way.
We'll be gentle.
Now, if we wanted to go perhaps see the result of your labors last night of the rehearsal at the Guthrie Center on Saturday night, we could do that by calling a phone number, correct?
Yeah, 413-528-1955.
That was a good year.
It was a good year. I was alive.
I wasn't.
No, nor I.
I was just a glimmer in someone's eye.
So let us start our conversation. We welcome you to be a part of our conversation, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We got a deficit update yesterday. I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but the federal government is expected to finish its fiscal year with a relatively modest budget deficit. Relatively modest, as the gap between revenue and spending continues a sharp decline, the Congressional Budget Office said Wednesday. And the improvement in the government's financial health has shifted political debate in Washington and arguments on the midterm campaign trail from the level of federal spending to the uses of that money. The Budget Office says that it now predicted a federal deficit of $506 billion. $506 billion during the fiscal year that runs through the end of September. This is significantly lower than the $680 billion deficit during the previous fiscal year. That would also be the fifth consecutive year the deficit has declined as a share of the nation's gross domestic product, from 9.8% in 2009 fiscal year to a projected 2.9% during the current fiscal year.
This should be new good news, shouldn't it, for Obama?
I was going to say, mm-hmm. So this should shouting from the mountaintops, right?
And even though he may have fought it at some point over particular programs, you know, but do you think, I'd like to stand out here on Central Avenue and say, pardon me, to the first 100 people who pass, what do you think about the federal deficit?
The federal what?
Yeah. I think Obama's administration will take credit. Republicans who push for fiscal restraint will take credit. And anybody who takes credit for this should be slapped, because that deficit went down, but in the worst possible way, not through governing, but through that sequestration and silly, just like blanket cuts that did not take into consideration what was the best policy.
Well, let's
terrible policymaking. Not a good way to govern, Libby.
But let's not forget what got us in this boat to begin with. When Bill Clinton left office, we did not have a deficit.
We did not.
When George Bush got us into Iraq, excuse me, I'm trying to be better.
By the way, that war, I believe, was off budget, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
We didn't even count
it. Right. That's
right.
What...
The credit card war.
That's right. And that's what drove up the federal deficit.
Okay,
and
that's true, but that was 6 years ago, and Obama elected to stay and to keep fighting.
And he did keep fighting, but, you know, I mean... We're back.
I know. We're right
back.
Here. Okay, we can do blame.
Black and white,
this deficit. Alan is right. No one cares about this. They care about whether they have a job or not.
But let's go to. But Libby wanted to just finish up on.
Well,
what she was
it was
saying.
Just. Oh,
you mean
one line here.
Sorry.
Yeah, there was
we
just
are
one
back.
Line here about the projection would exceed revenue, and the change was attributed to lower than expected corporate income tax receipts. Well, why aren't we surprised about that one? Mm-hmm. You know, the corporate taxes are going down the tubes because they're not paying them. I mean, you know, the amount is going down because, oh, I just saw on Facebook Burger King's moving to Canada so that it doesn't have to, you know, pay.
Although they
taxes.
Deny that. They they officially deny that. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, sure. Right. And I have a bridge I'd like to sell you. Yeah. You know,
well, no,
really.
I agree with you.
That's a good point.
From Buffalo. He was not from Canada. Yeah, you know, give me a break.
It's another proof, though, about this whole deficit debate. Whoever takes credit for it, really, they should be, their feet should be held to the fire, and they should be criticized. It's just bad.
And corporations should pay their fair share of income taxes. Yes. When GE doesn't pay a dime in income taxes,
legally.
But you, all three of us, four of us, are paying a third of our salaries.
We are, indeed.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with that.
Well, and that is, it gets complicated, very complicated, because the middle class are the determiners of who win elections. When the society decides that the people at the bottom are going to get something, and so when you start cutting their food stamps or you start cutting the kinds of essential education for their children so that they have a fighting chance in life, what does the middle class person say? Good? We want all those people at the bottom to do better? Or do they say, oh, boy, there they go again. They're getting everything. I'm going to vote with the Republicans, which happens on a fairly regular basis.
And it's because they're believing the lie that if you vote with us and let the poor people suffer, then you'll get more money. And that's never happened. It's never and ever, and it won't ever happen. It's the dumbing down of America and the inability of us to have a discernment around what's right and wrong. But the dumbing down of America has been the political strategy of the GOP and the far right for a very long time because they don't want people to think.
I am no defender of the GOP, but I must jump in here. Oh. There are Democrats now. You the article you read makes a big deal. This is great news for Obama. They're taking advantage
of this sort of silly statistics. Sure, but everyone's going
to
spin all of this to their advantage. But the fact of the matter is that people are questioning the veracity of scientific evidence.
Sure.
Okay? There was a piece last night on NBC News about how parents, middle class educated parents, are buying into the conspiracy theories around immunization because they think they're bad, because of one bad, disreputable study. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so what's happening is kids are not getting immunized. And we had an outbreak of measles in central New York.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's this dumbing down, this lack of faith or not believing in scientific evidence.
But the dumber, Libby, you make a good point, but the dumber people are, the more manipulatable they are.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point.
Exactly. Okay. Then we have no problem.
Well, do you think they're... I mean... All right.
Go ahead.
I take exception to the word dumb, I guess.
Well, it's the dumbing down. I mean, you know, look.
I think it's a sheep mentality where you can be easily herded into a particular belief.
But if you know nothing, you can't act on what you don't know.
Lemmings.
And here we have a so-called democracy from the people, demos. And the basic premise is you got to know something in order to intelligently make a choice.
That's right. Information. You need information.
And ultimately, even though everyone is crowing about this saying, okay, the budget is here compared to where it was last year, it's still up from what it was in April. There was a slight increase, which we should
still
also...
Still sounds like a big number.
No, it's a very big number.
Yeah, it's billion.
It's a very big number.
It's not million, it's billion.
We're going to take a break. We welcome you to join in. I have to say, when I picked that as our lead article, I did not think you guys were going to get quite so snipey.
We've been spoiling for it, Joe. You know it.
Right. Right. We're jonesing for this budget article.
We started in the parking lot.
Who knew? We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Allardyce Glass and Mirror, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing sales service and installation of glass, shower enclosures, mirror, and screen products for the home. Allardyce.com. 10,000 Villages in Stuyvesant Plaza, Albany, featuring fairly traded home decor and gifts handcrafted by artisans around the world. 10,000villages.com for additional store locations. And Hyde Hall, an 1830s English country manor overlooking Otsego Lake, offering guided tours 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily except Thursdays through Columbus Day. HydeHall.org.
All right, we're going to go back into the show now. I know you want to keep talking, but
sorry.
We'll do it in front of the microphones. People can hear you and all that stuff. Do you have any letters on?
Oh, yeah, no, I do, but I was looking at some pictures on my device here.
All right, well, hold those then, so we'll get to this, so we have plenty of time for this story. Yeah. But we were talking about this yesterday. The New York Times chose not to endorse either Zephyr Teachout or Andrew Cuomo in the primary for governor. Today, they have announced that they have endorsed Timothy Wu for Lieutenant Governor. Mm-hmm. So, Alan, what should we make of this declaration?
Well, this is, of course, huge. New York Times, look, Andrew Cuomo is a man who has a reputation for not liking, you know, people who don't like him or who give him a hard time. That's just who he is. I've always thought, by the way, that he has a lot to offer, but that this business of, you know, not going to visit the Poughkeepsie Journal for some reason is... it's just bad news, you know, and holding things that happened years ago against people. It doesn't serve him well. So in any case, the New York Times has obviously got a problem with Andrew. First of all, they disendorse him, as you just mentioned. He was endorsed the last time. This time they say, we're not endorsing anybody. That's a slap in his face. And now they have this thing. It's so interesting. They say, okay, Timothy Wu, who is a Columbia law professor and is running for lieutenant governor, we endorse him. Well, since Andrew is, this is complicated, folks, so listen up.
This is Mario's first election.
So since Andrew is running on a number of different tickets, you know, the women ticket that he invented and this ticket that he invented, that what happens is that if Wu wins the Democratic nomination, they will not be able to aggregate all the votes for Andrew during the election. So this is a huge thing. There are people who think Wu can win.
Wait, I don't get it.
Okay, all right. In order to run, you're right to call me on this. In order to run for lieutenant governor, first you have to win a separate primary for lieutenant governor, mm-hmm. right? But now, when you run with whoever is your running mate. It'll be Cuomo and Wu or Cuomo and Hochul. Okay. Right. If it's Cuomo and Wu on the Democratic ticket and Cuomo and Hochul on the independents or whatever ticket,
you can't add all of those votes up.
And he loses a tremendous amount of votes at a time when most people think he's running for president sooner or later. And this would hurt him. So I can tell you this right now, for the Cuomo campaign, they say they've got $35 million. That was the last thing. I have a feeling it's somewhere between $35 and $50 million. But dollars, you can now look, and I know this because I've talked to people in the campaign or in and around the governor who have said they're going to spend a fortune getting Hochul elected, this lady from, you know, upstate New York.
She's really not a Democrat when you listen to her.
Well, no, she's a Democrat because she says she's a Democrat, sure. But she's also, you know, not where she should be on a number of very important issues ranging from guns. I don't know about the gay thing.
I don't know.
What is her plus that she's on the ticket in the first place?
She's from upstate and she's a woman.
Right. She's upstate. She's a woman. It gives him the ability to form this Women's Equality Party. I mean, now New York State endorsed Teachout. You know, keep laughing. But
No, it's funny because when asked why they were doing that, since he's on the right side on everything, marriage, on everything else,
right.
She said simply because he's not a woman. You know, we're endorsing the woman. So there was that.
It'll be interesting, though, to see what happens with NARAL New York and the Planned Parenthood PAC, to see what, and they're probably, you know, caught in this dilemma of what to do. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out in all of this. This is like, I remember when Mario got elected the first time, Al Del Bello was his lieutenant governor.
He had to quit.
Right,
same thing.
Right. That's who became. And what I find interesting about them endorsing Wu is this. They said, we're not going to endorse Teachout because she doesn't have the experience. Okay, so if Wu gets elected, he has no experience either in running government.
Yeah, but
he's a heartbeat away.
Yeah, but they said he'll have time to learn. That's how they got around. Can I just talk to you about the Times for a minute? The Times is a terribly important newspaper, nationally, internationally, in every other way. When the New York Times slaps Andrew in the face and says, we're not buying your lieutenant governor person. Let's face it, when Chuck Schumer had so much to do with nominating our junior
Senator,
United States
Kirsten
Senator,
Gillibrand.
Kirsten Gillibrand, right? And she was on the same side as Hochul is on many of these very issues, guns, this and that, mm-hmm. and the other thing. She'll evolve, said Chuck Schumer.
And I guarantee you,
Hochul will evolve the way Cuomo wants her to evolve also. But the New York
Times. She's not a Sarah Palin.
No,
but if you watch the video compilation that the Woo mm-hmm. people put together, it's really something. I mean, I voted with the president. I voted mm-hmm. against this. I voted against the Democrats. You know, it's consistent all the time. And I get it. She was beat for her congressional seat by Chris Collins, who's mm-hmm. even further to the right of Attila mm-hmm. the Hun. You know, and so she had to play that game in Western New York to get elected.
What's
in the
name
first
we
place?
Call that when you do what you don't believe in? But you do it because you want to win.
Two-faced. Disingenuous.
Disingenuous.
Politics.
Politics. Let's end there. 9:37 on Thursday morning, the 28th of August. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Very nice to have you with us, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok here. And we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC, roundtable at WAMC, where we get comments like this.
Yes, Libby Post is terrible. She is a one...
oh, no!
Oh, that's mean.
Even I don't say that,
she's
Libby.
A one-trick pony. Same story week after week. She ridicules those who don't share her beliefs. I don't agree with this. I'm just reading it, and it offers an opportunity for all of us who love Libby to write in and say, we love Libby. And then there was another one.
It's a good thing I don't care.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and there's one from Ryan. Yup, sure is nice that the gap is shrinking. Meanwhile, that's the budget gap. Meanwhile, people are unemployed. Social safety nets are being cut. The wealth gap continues to grow. Our voting rights are being taken away, and college students can't pay their bills. Our country is in shambles, and none of our leaders care. And then there was another one which has somehow eluded me, Joseph, and maybe you can find it on your apparatus there, which has to do with Libby saying that about the measles epidemic. And this is a woman who says she's a professional, and she gives the other side.
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
So I can't.
I don't know that I got that message.
Okay, all right. Well, I think. I think I have basically.
I'd like to hear the other side. Measles are good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Whooping cough is good.
Vaccines really are bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Not sure.
Polio. It's a character builder when you're in the iron lung.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Sorry.
And by the way, don't you love people who say they're going to turn off the show because they hear an opinion that they don't agree with? And as far as this one trick pony stuff goes. Think about that for a second. The New York Times has a worldview of Weltanschauung. They proceed every week to basically lay out their position. Does that make them a one-trick pony? I don't think so. It makes them one side of a debate that's going on.
Right. You know. They could say that about you, too.
Oh, they could
they
and
could
have.
Say it about Rosemary. I mean,
oh, no, I'm all over
not
the place.
No,
Rose,
you never know with Rosemary. That's true.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
And, you know, ask me some other kinds of questions, and I think I would surprise some people about my perspectives.
I know. We were just talking about
right.
a famous television show. Yeah,
and Steve wrote, wondering if read some of the articles about Senator Gillibrand and her being objectified by congressional members.
Oh, I was just going to bring this up.
That was incredible.
I'm sorry. I think she is awesome. And I like that she has that little breathy voice and the girlish figure.
All right, hold on. In the book.
I know.
This is her book, her new book.
Her new book.
I like them chubby.
She claims that a male senator came up to her in her opening weeks and went up to her and said, it's nice
don't
to have you
don't lose too much
here.
Weight.
I like my girls chubby.
Yeah, she was trying to lose her pregnancy weight. I think it's great. She uses that so much to her own advantage. She's a beautiful woman and she's objectified, and yet she's a raging feminist and very effective. I think she's awesome.
But this is just shows sexism is still alive and well.
Oh yes, yeah, surprise!
I mean, give me
surprise.
A break. The woman is an elected official, and a union person comes up to her and says, you
"Oh,
need
come
to,
on, look at we." We you do this know, I mean, to all of our on. Women politicians.
I know,
we do
but
it
it's
to
just
Hillary Clinton. Her thighs are too big, and she looks terrible.
Well,
and,
she looks
in
tired.
Short skirts. And then there's Sarah Palin, who's like an idiot, but oh, she's hot. Yeah. We do it to all of our women.
Well, we objectify. We still objectify women.
Yeah.
And
okay. So we got to work on that.
Well,
we
I think you're both right, but of course, it's also very good for book sales. to tell this kind of story in a book.
Well, but it's also good to not only for the sales, but to raise the issue again. Because I think many people think that this issue has been settled, that women are making it in the corporate world, that we're successful. Look, she's a U.S. senator. Look, Hillary might be president. And so sexism is gone. But the truth of the matter is sexism is not gone.
Yes.
Yeah, there is no other side to that.
That's right. Sorry,
either.
And that's my other one.
No, there isn't, and I resent being objectified by so many people.
Oh, Alan, but you are, the looker of the century, and so.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's move on.
So I want to get to a whole bunch of issues, but I there's just these things. You go through all the different news sources, and you look at things, and you say, well. We should really discuss this. We should really discuss that. And then every once in a while, there's just those I don't want to say little stories, but those stories that you just, you can't quite comprehend. So this 9-year-old girl is being taught how to use an Uzi submachine gun. She was at a gun range in Arizona called Bullets and Burgers.
Great.
And her parents brought her in. And
looking on approvingly, cameras rolling.
Right. They're from New Jersey, and they captured video of the experience. And I guess what happened is the 9-year-old girl has the gun.
The Uzi.
And she pulled the trigger, and the recoil caused her to lose control of the gun, with the instructor being accidentally shot in the head. He was flown to the University Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead upon arrival. So this brings up a whole bunch of issues, of course, just about our gun culture, about gun ranges. Where 9-year-olds?
No law against children having guns. In fact, the prosecutor in the case said if anybody's at fault, it was the instructor. He made the mistake of putting in, you can put a repeating bullet feature on the Uzi, and he set it on that to a child who was not properly trained.
Don't you think the parents had some responsibility?
The prosecutors don't.
No, I don't mean legal responsibility.
No, morally, absolutely. Yes. But yeah. I have the feeling the NRA probably will say something like, well, if she had been started being trained to shoot
when
that gun
two.
When she was five, at least five, this never would have happened.
Yeah, well, this is all over social media.
In fact, the NRA has said that they should be, that children as young as five could be taught.
It's all over social media, and people are saying, well, let's be reasonable out there. People in 18 years, this never happened at the shooting range before. It's just a fluke accident.
Well, a 9-year-old need to do with a new Uzi? And
what
we wonder why people
protect themselves,
right? But we wonder why then they go and shoot up their classmates in high school.
I mean,
it's
if this was a story of a parent taking their daughter or son to a range to learn how to shoot so they can go out and go hunting in the fall, this would be a different issue. Yes.
Why? I mean, that is what the parents think. They thought they were doing that. They're
with an Uzi.
With an Uzi and a .22? I mean, if you were taking your child out to bring them to a range, But it seems to me
I don't think there should be Uzis outside of the military, so let me get that straight. However, our laws, our Constitution is clear, and these parents thought that this was part... They're gun enthusiasts themselves. I'm sure this girl does shoot and has been trained in other weaponry.
And what's going to...
So it was a vacation experience. We'll give you something new.
Yeah. Right. And but my question...
Like
and what's
sort of
the
like
trauma this kid's going to have for the rest
scarred,
of her life?
Scarred for life. Yeah.
Right.
You don't shoot somebody to death at nine and then be normal.
Oops. Right.
Yeah. By the way, Joe, I just want to mention that Neuron 109, whoever that is, said, I love Libby and Rosemary. They offer a perfect intellectual compliment to the roundtable. And that's from Matt in Great Barrington.
That's a little sad.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
And Peggy Joe says to the women of the panel, you are loved and welcome back with 3 exclamation points.
Thank you, thank you,
yeah,
thank you.
That's really nice. There's all of that. Okay.
All right.
Our culture does have a sort of fear and distaste for outspoken, loud women.
Yeah, that's sexism thing I was talking about before.
Oh, you're such a one-trick pony.
Aren't I? All right.
all right. So that was a story, and then there was also a cop.
Airplanes.
The cop shot the member of the cops show, a police officer.
Yeah.
There was an armed robbery. This is in Omaha. There was an armed robbery, and the show Cops is riding with the
cops.
And so they're in the Wendy's where an armed robbery is actually happening. The cameraman is trying to protect himself, but also get video of the armed robbery in progress. He goes around the back door. A police officer apparently walks in, sees movement, and shoots. And he shoots the cameraman.
And he kills him, right?
Yeah. So, that's another very unfortunate story that is coming out this morning.
And leave the body of the cameraman for 4 hours in the street.
That is perhaps not the case here.
And Julius, our regular correspondent, says, same thing happened a couple of years ago when a young boy was given an Uzi at a gun range and the recoil drove the barrel up until the kid shot himself and was killed.
Oh, God.
And then says, what the H are these so-called parents thinking? Uzis are designed for combat, period, end of sentence. And then George said, there are a few 9-year-olds strong enough to handle a Uzi. The recoil is just too powerful. And this is very similar to an incident in Westfield, Mass. A few years ago. No young child should ever be handed a submachine gun.
A gun. Let's just say no young child should ever be handed a gun, period.
The instructor was a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq. And the irony of being killed on a range here by a child is just,
kids can't smoke. You can't get cigarettes until you're 18. You can't drink until you're 21.
You can't vote.
You can't vote until you're 18, but you can get a gun. What does that say?
But also, what does it say about the groups?
Can't even drive a car. What?
Right.
What does it say about those groups which will never be responsible, will never say, this has gone too far. This stops right here. We're for psychological testing, or we're for this, or we're for that. What is it that you want to keep your job? So, and you know that there'll be some people on the fringe who will yell at you if you don't carry it all the way.
I mean, the NRA is all about the gun manufacturers, and not about the people who are gun enthusiasts per se and want to go hunting like they used to be. They now represent the gun manufacturers.
Libby, I don't know that that's entirely so. I mean, I think it's a mixed bag. So that, you know, the people who are the consumers and also have congressional representatives and they can let them know, you know, that we don't want anything done, anything at all, because it's the road to hell. With our
and
guns.
It's not paved with good intentions.
But in Rosemary stuck in this a moment ago, which I think is that social media is wild with people saying, you know, 18 years and nothing has ever happened at this range before. And it seems like every incident that we have, which, you know, just today there's five in the new, in the paper, and in the media. So that everything's just a one-off. Everything's just a fluke. And you're not compiling, you're not putting all of this together. And so for those who do put it together and for those who do question the overall numbers of how many people are killed by guns, how many people are injured, the accessibility to guns, so forth, also to Alan's point of mental illness, when those are compiled, it's just dismissed.
Well, it's I've long maintained that one of the worst offenses of the NRA is that they have stopped research. They say any research would tend to lead to a repression of gun ownership. So they've stopped research. We don't even know, for example, a simple question, does media contribute to gun violence? Do those games that kids play, does that contribute? We don't really know. Lots of talking about it, but no study because the NRA has stopped it. I think the media has also done a crappy job on this. We are people who could compile those incidents and keep driving it home, and it's very rarely done. Those stories just don't appear.
To me, the whole idea of those wonderful little children in Connecticut
being Newtown. Wiped out,
it should have stopped right there.
Absolutely.
It should have sort of stopped right there. But the fact that that's ignored and that, you know, those arguments are put that way.
We've gone on from there.
It's awful.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up. We have other issues to discuss. We're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Healthy Living Market and Cafe, working to support local agriculture with organic products, community outreach, and jobs. Open 7 days a week at the Wilton Mall. HealthyLivingMarket.com. Proctor's, presenting the 2014-2015 Key Private Bank Broadway series featuring Newsies, Jersey Boys, The Illusionists Witness the Impossible, Annie, Pippin, and Kinky Boots. Proctors.org for subscriptions and group tickets. And Capital Region Honda Dealers, offering new and pre-owned Hondas in New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts for the summer season. CapitalRegionHondaDealers.com.
We've got some new ones, Joe. Doreen says, I heard the owner of a Bulletin Burgers on MSNBC last night say this was on the little girl's bucket list.
Oh,
a nine-year-old has a bucket list, and then...
a nine-year-old having a bucket list.
And Zane says, and then they go out and kill their classmates. How many? This is absurd. The rate of mass killings in the U.S. has held steady since the 70s, 62 since 1982. What about auto ownership? 33,000 deaths per year, tons of CO2 per mile. So let me see if I get this correct. Because a lot of people die in automobile accidents, we shouldn't do anything about the guns?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
And in fact, we do kind of control car ownership and the right to drive.
Yes, we do.
Because it is dangerous. So
you have to pass a test.
Yeah,
you have to pass a test.
And a competency, yes.
Right. You know, my father always told me when I got behind the wheel of a car, you're driving a dangerous weapon. You can kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that.
I think comparison works the opposite way, that they both should be controlled.
Well, yes, obviously. And then Chris says, if the story was coming out of Africa, people would be up in arms, in quotes, about child armies. Are we allowing gun fanatics in the U.S. to recruit children now for the conflict they believe is coming? It's a disgrace for children to be exposed to weapons like this. It's a form of child abuse for parents to inflict their extremist views on their impressionable children. Noah says, I have to throw it out there that I started to learn to shoot around 8 on long barrel 22s. There's such a difference between that and a Uzi is unbelievable. I can't go further because it's too long. Then Tina says, if by one trick pony you mean always fair-minded and intelligent, so be it, Libby. I told you. And then Eric says, gun incidents similar to how often can you claim a 100-year storm when they happen every year, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have a minute and a half, so let me let's go to the let's real quick go to the immigration issue and talk about the plan. There was a story in the Washington Post saying that both political parties are in a state of high anxiety about the possibility that President Obama will allow millions of illegal immigrants to remain in the country, fearing that the White House action on the issue could change the course of November's midterm elections. I'll each give you a shot at this pinata. Alan.
So interesting because, you know, you get these guys who are running for Congress. They're sometimes in conservative districts. They know immigration, you know, reform is a killer for them, that people and so they're turning against the president, even though the president happens to be right.
Rosemary.
Go Obama. He's been put in this situation by a Republican Party that doesn't want to compromise, and there's little else he can do. He's going to, I think, improve lives, and he's doing what he can. It's legal. Good for him. Glad he found the mechanism.
Well, I just, what hit me about this, and this goes back to your spin comment, if 30 years ago, if this story had come out, I was in your class, and we were doing an exercise like a sentence diagram, this is the perfect story for a spin diagram, because you've got seven different perspectives on the same story coming from all the different viewpoints, and how you can spin this story about who it's good for, who it's bad for, how who's going to use it to their advantage. I just found that part of it fascinating, but I agree with both of you, it needs to be done. And he needs to use the power of his pen.
So, as far as the actual impact on November elections,
none. Only jobs. That's all that's going to matter, in my view.
Well, it depends. I mean, there may well be very close congressional elections in which we know that this has been used before, and this is the boogeyman, you know, to say, you know, they're coming over the border and they're taking our jobs and they're doing all this. Lou Dobbs didn't do as well with it as he thought he did. He disappeared after he did this national sort of thing. But we hope that we're sensible.
I mean, you know, Congress is going to stay with the Republicans, and whether or not it's going to have an impact on the Democrats keeping the Senate.
It
definitely could. I mean, there are some numbers that are coming out that are looking better and better for the Democrats.
We love your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Keep them coming. Roundtable at WAMC.org. This configuration will meet here tomorrow, 23 hours from right now, and we look forward to having you with us. Rosemary, Libby, Alan, thank you very much.
And thank you, Joe, for all you do.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about Soldier Girls, the battles of three women at home and at war. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.